Amen. I appreciate that special. And I love that song. I ask you to open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8 this evening, beginning at verse 12. A few weeks ago, we saw Jesus back in Jerusalem at the Feast of the Tabernacles. And on that last day, the great day of the feast, he stood up and said that if any man thirsts, he could come unto him and drink. We understand that during that festival, they would take water from the Pool of Siloam, they would bring it up, and they would pour it out at the altar, and that happened over and over. And during the midst of that celebration, and sometime in the midst of that, I think maybe at the very end of that, when everyone was silent and quiet, Jesus stood up and very loudly declared, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And we see that picture that Christ is the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament pictures, that everything in the temple, everything in the tabernacle, everything in that worship, Christ fulfills it all. And so after this, we're going to see today another time that Jesus plainly declares another I am statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is telling them and giving them opportunity time and time and time and time again. He is long-suffering and kind and merciful, and he wants them to be saved. These scribes and Pharisees that hate him, the scribes and Pharisees that are plotting and planning for his murder, Jesus loves them, and he wants them to be saved, and he's trying to open their eyes over and over. But listen, you can blind yourself. You can harden your heart. And so you have to make that choice to open your heart and to soften your heart and to open your eyes. And if you have a desire to see, you'll see. If you'll knock, he'll open. If you'll ask, it'll be given to you. If you'll seek, you'll find. And so he's trying over and over, putting himself out there for them to come to him. And so sometime after the feast, a day after the feast, the next morning, you remember how he was in. Early in the morning, he was in the temple, and last week we saw that adulterous woman brought before him, and Jesus' great mercy for her. And so let's stand together, if you're able, chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come, and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please open our understanding. Illuminate our eyes. Help us to see and understand the light of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the things we learn tonight will help us to know you, to love you, and to serve you more. Father, we want to know you. Lord, help us to know Jesus so that we might know you and have fellowship both with you and with Jesus, our Savior. Lord, that we might have unity, be of one mind with you, Father. Please, please let Jesus be exalted, and may you be glorified in all that we do. Lord, I pray if decisions need to be made for Christ tonight, that we would be humble and submissive and obedient to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. during the Feast of Tabernacles, not only did they have the water ceremony where they took the water and they had the processional back up to the altar and they carried it around and all of those things, but I told you a few weeks ago that every night they had two giant menorahs that were there in the courtyard, and they would light those and they would carry torches, and every night there was a processional and there was music and dancing and worship and praise to God, and it was all lit up by these lampstands, the menorahs that were all around, and the people carrying torches and the lighting and the light that was there, and it was all a picture to remind them of the Shekinah glory of God, when God's glory shone in the temple, when God's glory came down on the mount, when God's glory came down to the tabernacle, when God's glory came down on the Ark of the Covenant. And it was all to remind them that that place was a place of God's presence. And so they wanted to remember that. Now, it's a sad thing that because their hearts and their lives and their worship was so far from God, His presence wasn't really there in the way that it was in the Old Testament. They had to have artificial light. But this day, Jesus Christ, the light, was there. That's a lot better than lampstands. Isn't that good? And Jesus, while He's teaching there, says, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Matthew 4:16 says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that through all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And Jesus Christ is the light. And when you see that He is the glory of the Father, what's He saying? Well, that glory that appeared to Moses in the mountain, the glory that shone there, the glory that was that brightness when Jesus was transfigured, all of that brightness and all of that glory, that's who He is. He is the light of God. He is the glory. Today we're thankful the sun comes up every day, the sun goes down. And we're thankful for the light of the sun, but the brightness of Christ is greater than the brightness of the sun. And there's going to come a day in the new heaven and new earth where we won't need the sun or the moon or the stars anymore, because Jesus Christ is the light thereof. He is the light. John 3:18-21, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Listen to me. We are all born with a sin nature. We all willfully sin against God. We are condemned because of our sin. And the only way out of that condemnation is through Jesus Christ. And so we believe we're not condemned, but in our unbelief we're condemned. In our sin we're condemned. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or worked out in God. Jesus is the light. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is today. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Listen, John, I mean, he over and over and over, John chapter 1, John chapter 3, John chapter 9, John chapter 12, Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that worketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Again in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And I want to tell you that this world is a dark place. And when you didn't have Christ, you were in a dark place. And sometimes when you're in the dark, you don't even realize it. You ever notice that? You get used to the light, how quick that happens? I mean, friends, it's amazing. If you're outside and it's bright outside and you walk inside the house and it's dark, you can't see anything, but it doesn't take long before you get used to it. And then somebody turns on the light early in the morning when it's still dark outside, somebody flips on the light and it hurts. Because we don't like the light. The light is so contrasting to the darkness, and this world is full of darkness, and without Christ we were in darkness. But if you have Christ, you have light. I love this in Acts 26:13, when Paul is telling his conversion story to the king. He says, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. What was it? It was Jesus Christ himself. Isn't that good? I've thought about that. It's an amazing thing, because if it's dark and somebody shines a flashlight in your eyes, because if you want to hurt your eyes, give a kid a flashlight when it's dark. They don't know where to shine them except for in your face. Quit shining them in my eyes. It hurts, right? But that doesn't really bother me too much in the daytime. If you're out in the sun and somebody shines a light in your eyes, it doesn't bother you, because the sun's brighter than any flashlight. But that day, when Jesus shone on Saul of Tarsus, that light of Jesus was greater than the sun. His brightness, his light is greater than any light. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give that to you one more time. 2 Corinthians 4:6. You need to get this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What is he talking about? In the beginning there was darkness, and God said, let there be light. And the first thing that he created of all the creation was light. Before there were stars, before the sun and the moon, before there was anything else, God created light. And that same God who spoke the light into nothingness, when there was nothing, God created light. That same God has shined his light into your hearts tonight. Friends, there's no room for darkness in our lives. There's no room for the lack of knowledge and understanding. There's no room for the wickedness of this world. If you have Christ, you have light. Greater than any light. And it's an everlasting light. And so I don't think anybody there got it that day, and I don't think any of us fully understand it yet. But when Jesus stood up and said, I am the light of the world, it was huge. It was huge. And he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I won't take the time to go to all the places, but I want you to get this tonight, and it's really, really important, because you don't need to just believe in Jesus. You need to follow Jesus. And there is an incredible difference between the two. And the more you study your Bible, the more you're going to figure out that believing in Jesus is a good thing, but following Jesus is really where it's at. We're going to find out in the next couple of messages that there were people who believed in Jesus, get this, but they weren't really saved. And some of you are like, what? Well, you better come back the next couple of Sunday nights so you'll know what I'm talking about. Jesus doesn't just want you to believe in him. He wants you to trust him with all your heart, and he wants you to follow him. It's not too complicated, though, because if you really trust Christ with all your heart, you will follow him. And if you're not following him, you might want to check and make sure, examine yourself whether you really be in the faith. Jesus is the light. And if you follow him, you will not walk in darkness. Do you see it? Shall not walk in darkness. If you're following Jesus, you can't keep living in the darkness of sin. If you're following Jesus, you can't do it. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't live for Jesus and live for the world. You can't live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You can't do it. I promise you, some of you keep trying, and I have tried, and thousands of other people who claim the name of Christ are trying right now today. They're trying to be worldly and trying to be Christian, and you can't do it. You can't do it. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to split yourself in two. You're going to hate one and love the other, hold to the one and hate the other, but you cannot follow Jesus and live in darkness. It won't happen. How do you know? Because Jesus said so. It's right there on the screen. See it? There. Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I don't want to carry it too far, this picture of light and darkness. But here's the reality. Sometimes we get in a dark place. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just get in a dark place. In your mind, your heart, your emotions. We just get in a dark place. And I know that there are a lot of reasons that happens, and I know there are a lot of people that are trying to find answers to all those things. And I want to tell you, friends, that the answer to darkness is light. And Jesus is the light. And you're not going to find a way out of that darkness any other place. You're not. It's not going to happen. You're not going to find it anywhere else. The light is Christ. There is no other light. He is the light. I love John when he goes into it. He's talking about John the Baptist, and he says, he wasn't the light. People were confused about it. Who's John? Who's John? Who is he? Are you the one? Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one we're looking for? I'm not the one. There's one coming behind me who's greater than me. I'm not even worthy to mess with the sandals. He's greater. He's the one. He's the light. I'm here to tell you to follow him. And people were confused. John wasn't the light. Jesus is the light. Verse 13, the Pharisees. So we see the light. Number two, the lie. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. In accusing Christ of lying, they're lying. When they accuse him of lying, they're lying, and they don't even know it. They're lying to themselves. The lie is that the witness of Jesus is not true. Can you imagine this just for a second? I know some of you don't do this, but some of us have discussions with our spouses. We have dialogue. Some of us have dialogue with our spouses. And sometimes one person will say something, the other one will say, you liar. Now, you might not have that happen at your house, but some people's houses, things like that happen. I'm trying not to look at my wife right now. Listen, you might call somebody else a liar. I might have a discussion with Brother Steve, and he might just look at me and say, you liar. He might do that. He probably wouldn't, because he's too nice. But even if he thought I was lying, he probably wouldn't call me on it. He'd probably just say amen. Now, Brian, on the other hand, he might just call me a liar. I get that. You might call me a liar. I might even call you a liar. There's lots of people we might call liars. If you watch the news, you just go, bunch of liars. They're all liars. Everybody's lying. But can you imagine being there listening to Jesus preach and teach and having the audacity to point at Jesus Christ and say, you're a liar? You're pointing to truth incarnate and calling him a liar. That's insanity. It's not like they knew nothing about him. They had heard him preach. They had heard him teach. They had seen his miracles. to talk to a man who caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk and the dead to come back to life and say, "You're a liar." That's crazy. And that's exactly what they did. They pointed at Christ and said that he was a liar. Your record is not true because you're bearing record of yourself. But Jesus tells them about his place, his purpose, and his partner. In verse 14, he gives them his place. Jesus answered and said, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go." Jesus says, my record is true. And let me tell you why. Because I stepped down out of eternity and heaven and the very presence of my Father into this world, and I'm going back to my Father, to my throne, and to eternity. I stepped out of eternity into time, and I'm going to step out of time back into eternity. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. You don't know who I am. You don't know where I come from. You don't know where I'm going. But my record is true because I know more than you do. I'm the eternal God, and I know. What a ridiculous thing for somebody to call Jesus a liar. For Jesus, his love is so evident that he would even take the time to give a defense. The humility and the meekness of Christ, that he would even waste the time to give a defense to these people. And obviously Jesus didn't waste time, don't misunderstand me, but you and I would never take the time to do that. If I'm absolutely right and you're absolutely wrong and I know it, I might not even bother with you. But Jesus did, because he loved them and he wanted them to know. And the sad thing is, the more grace he showed them, the more mercy he extended, the more long-suffering it was, they just heaped up greater condemnation to themselves. He tells about his purpose, verse 15. "Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man." I told you a while ago, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is Jesus came this time, not as judge, but as savior. Not as executioner, but as savior and sacrifice. Now, friends, I want you to know, one day he is going to judge. But he said, "I'm not here right now to judge. My purpose here is not to judge anybody. My purpose here is to save you." Verse 16 tells about his partner. "And yet if I judge, my judgment is not true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true," Deuteronomy 19:15. If there's a matter that comes up, you have to have two witnesses. "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." It's a biblical principle. It's the law of God. And he says, you know the law. You think you know the law. So there you go. Two witnesses. "I am one," verse 18, "that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Say I need to have two witnesses? Fine. My testimony is true because I'm the eternal God. But if you need more than that, I bear witness of myself, and my Heavenly Father bears witness too. It's legal today to represent yourself. It's legal today in court, even today, to have yourself as a witness. Court of law. You can testify to yourself on your own behalf. So Jesus says, I'm testifying of myself, and my Father in heaven testifies of me. You say, well, how did he do that? Jesus Christ came with the witness of the Father. He came with the power of the Father. He came with the Father's miracles and the Father's message. Everything that he did, he pointed people to the Father. I'm not here on my own. I'm telling you what my Father said. Everything that I've told you, I'm telling you what my Father said. I'm giving you his message. Everything that he did, his power, it's my Father. It's my Father. He was always pointing to God to give God the glory and to help the people understand that I came from heaven. I have this witness. And verse 19 says, what a sad thing. "Then said they unto him, where is thy Father?" Not only did they lie, but they had a terrible lack of understanding. Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me, nor my Father." What a sad, sad testimony. I meet some people sometimes, and they say that they know the Lord, and And I wonder, because there's some fruit in their life, and I go, I don't know if you really know the Father or not, if you really know the Lord or not. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Joe, sometimes I meet people, complete strangers. I met a young man yesterday, and I don't know him very well. I've heard of him. I don't really know him. But I'm going to tell you, when I shook his hand and I talked to him, I knew that the Spirit of God was in that young man. You ever met somebody? You just know. I mean, you know that the Lord is in them. I mean, there's evidence, and there's a spirit, and there's a humility, and there's a grace, and there's a heart for the Lord, and there's a, and from their lips they profess the name of Christ, and you just know. This is somebody who's genuine. As much as you can know, but the reality is, as much as we can know, we don't know. But Jesus does know. And he looked at those men that called him liars, and those, their lack of understanding, and he said, you don't know the Father, and you don't know me. Friends, this is tragic. Brother Dustin Mitchell likes to share the gospel, and he said, I wish people turned green when they got saved. You know, I wish you knew. We deal with young people, and you try to share the gospel with them. You preach the gospel. A young man just got saved a few weeks ago, and you just wished, okay, he trusted the Lord. Now he turns green, and you know, even if it was just for a minute, you know. So you know, green light, you got it. Sweet. It'd be nice, but it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We have to wait. We have to see. Sometimes people ask me, we go to church camp and have all these professors of faith. They'll say, how many got saved? I say, I don't know. We'll see. What do you mean? Well, we had 33 make professions of faith, but we don't know. Time will tell. Right? But Jesus does know. And these men, dozens of them, he said, you don't know me. And you don't know my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Jesus Christ is the way, not a way. He is the truth. There is no other truth. He is the life. There is no life outside of Christ. If you have the Son, you have life. If you have not the Son, you have not life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you know Jesus, you know God the Father. But if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. There's so much in the scriptures that we need to get. So much in the scriptures that we need to learn. So much in the scriptures that we need to dig into and gain truth and grow and search for these things. But these men, these scribes and Pharisees, knew the scriptures better than anybody on the planet. And they didn't know God. All of the Bible knowledge of the world will not help you if you don't trust Christ with all your heart. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. It's my understanding that the treasury was a very open place, and it was a place where just about anybody could come into, and the court of the women in that area where anybody could come. And there were levels that certain people could come. There was the Gentile court and the women's court, and the farther you get, the fewer people could get there. But it's my understanding the treasury area was a place where just about anyone could go, and kind of the headquarters of the Sanhedrin was very near to there. The temple was a place where people met with God. That was his design. He said, if you'll pray in this place, I'll hear you. And he designed it to be a place to meet with his people. And let me tell you something. We may not know the importance of meeting with God, but the devil does. And he wants to do anything he can to keep us from meeting with God, to keep us from worshiping, to keep us from praying. And is it any surprise that he had this group of men who were supposed to be godly men, but they didn't know the Lord, and they were infiltrated, and they were implanted right there in the middle of it? that those who were in power and those who had great influence were men who didn't know God. And they were there strategically to keep people from coming to God. They considered it to be their territory. But Jesus said more than once that it was his Father's house. They probably had some kind of headquarters there, and no doubt the Sanhedrin had a room where they had council. And no doubt they had been in that room already plotting for how they could kill Jesus. They had been meeting right there, where right near where Jesus was teaching now, and they could send out officers to arrest him, but they couldn't touch him, and they could make their plans to assassinate him, but they could never get to him, because the Bible simply says no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And all of their plans and all of their scheming and all of their assassination plots would never come to fruition. They would never lay a hand on Jesus by their own devices. He would lay down his life of his own accord. This evening, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, I want to ask you to stand with me, please. Since when people get saved, they don't turn green, I can't see in your heart tonight. If Jesus was here, he could look at each and every person here and say, whether you know him and whether you know the Father or not, I can't do that. So I want to plead with you tonight that if you don't know him, that you'll repent and trust in him tonight. That you'll be saved. And if you're not 100% absolutely sure, friend, you are in the darkness and you need to come into the light. I think tonight, though, most of you have very plainly professed and have fruit in your life and have evidence that you are children of God. And I want to admonish yourselves and myself tonight, all of us, that we would walk in the light as he is in the light. We have no place in the darkness. And the darkness has no place in us. We have the light of Christ in us, and we can walk in his light day by day. If he's convicting your heart tonight, whatever burden there might be, you come right now while we sing.
Page 513.
Number 513.